shorts and bag.
That's a nasty looking finger, lady.
You got the bait?
What? No.
Hey, I got your fertilizer.
We made you.
Welcome back, interweb friends. This is Stop the Movie I Want to Get Out. Hollywood makes bad movies. We make fun of them. I'm Alex Dunbar, joined this week by Nick Newart.
And God help anyone who disrespects my queen.
Yeah, Jack Estabrook.
Wait, hang on a second. What was that? You want me to kill everybody who's listening to this podcast? Oh. I'm sorry, that's not what the voices really said.
Oh, we're gonna get into Harley Quinn quite a bit on this. And Cody Wolf.
I feel like I should be singing like a 70s popular song.
I know,
song
that was popular in the 70s here. Yeah.
Hey, the Guardians of the Galaxy soundtrack was real popular. Let's
do that, but only for the first half hour of the movie.
Yeah, let's have
in
that.
In the most ham-fisted way possible.
Every 3 minutes for the
right.
First half hour.
Hey, should it be deep cuts? Nope. No. Just hit every nail right on the head.
Get a few best of CDs. First two tracks on each one.
Yeah. I mean, we're not going to do like Back in Black. Oh, we are doing Back in Black? Okay. All right.
Yeah, it was crazy.
I love that I looked at the clock. The first 10 minutes, there were 6 songs, I think. If I remember correctly.
Well, at one point, I can't remember. I watched it like a month ago. I haven't rewatched it. But at one point, like a song just starts playing out of nowhere. Like within this first act. And I was like, did they literally just play that song because they haven't played one in like 3 minutes? Because that's what it sounded like. It felt like it was in the middle of the scene, they just started playing. I can't remember what song it was. But.
It's like sound design by someone with severe attention deficit disorder.
I honestly think it was, because if you go back and look at, say, Watchmen, I think that was definitely one of Snyder's biggest influences on Ayer's directing this was just, let's put maybe too obvious a song here, or...
Yeah, some of them are just too much.
Yeah,
you know, mention the name of the movie. By the
way. Well, yeah, so 2016 Suicide Squad.
Yep.
And we're going to get into this because I think Cody feels similar to how I feel on this. This is a mega crazy movie. There's plenty for us to unwrap here.
Yeah.
But there's some stuff I kind of liked in it.
I think that's what disappoints me the most about it in the end. Like, oh, there was potential here for something really good.
This movie has if there is a short list of things that I consistently see in movies that I don't like, this one screams of one of the seven deadly movie sins, and that is wasted potential.
Yeah.
There's a lot of good material here that was shot, and there was a lot of good concepts that were not expanded on. Well, and it's frustrating when you watch the movie and you're like, okay, it's working. No, like the scene with Will Smith and his daughter and Batman arrests him. I'm like, this is working. And then it cuts to this woman who can turn into a witch and she's like shape-shifting. And I'm like, what is this? And then it starts playing, there was a house in New Orleans. I'm like, what? Where am I?
Yeah. Well, I mean, this movie's narrative, I don't know that I've ever seen a major budgeted film where the narrative structure is as broken as this movie's is. I mean, there is no structure to it, and not like there's no structure in like an experimental, like, you know, free thinking way. It's like, no, there's just no structure. This is just loose parts thrown into a box.
Yeah, and I feel like something I'll talk about a lot, but the Joker stuff, which in my opinion did not have to be in the movie at all.
Oh,
but whenever that kind of careens into the movie, it feels like I've said it before with other movies, but it feels like it's another movie, like edging into this movie and then like going back out.
I wanted to see that movie. I disagree. I wanted to see more of the Joker stuff. I would have loved to have seen.
He was horrendous.
I love the Scarface Joker. I thought that was an interesting take.
That was horrendous.
Honestly, I thought they could have done more with that, like maybe this whole abusive relationship plot thread, which is another unused comment. That she's trying to get away from her abusive lover, is trying to cut back to her, literally cut through people to get back to her. Instead, they're fighting this CGI mummy villain.
DC loves their CGI villains.
Yeah, you may be on your own, Jack. I'm with Cody.
First off, I do not like Jared Leto.
No.
Yeah.
And when the first images came out of him as the Joker for this movie, it was just... the crappy tattoo.
I thought it worked. I thought it looked cool.
I do think his performance as the Joker in this wasn't that bad. Like we're talking about he's basically got to follow up Heath Ledger's performance as the Joker, which
sort of
that's,
unfair.
Yeah.
Well, he's got. I kind of compared this to. It's a little bit of. It's like Johnny Depp in the new Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, where you're watching him play Willy Wonka, and you can see he's trying to differentiate his performance from the Gene Wilder performance. Mm-hmm. And there are times where you're like, I don't know, I guess it's okay because the actor has to do so much work just to separate from an iconic performance.
Yeah.
And
well, I think my the feeling I had was he was so over the top, and there was so little of him in the movie that it's like every scene he's like super over the top, and there's never like a, I don't know,
a gradual.
Oh, there's never no,
like
yeah.
even like
yeah, you right,
like where the over the top stuff seems more intense because there's more even spots too. It's just like every time you see him, he's like,
and we're really jumping ahead, and we'll come back to this. Yeah. But the one Joker scene I thought worked well was the scene with Joker and Ike Barinholtz as the guard. When they kind of pull him out of the casino.
Oh, he's in the meat locker,
And you kind of see a little more restrained Jared Leto as a Joker.
And it's scary, yeah.
It was a little scary, and it was maybe the one scene with him that did work for me. And I was like, yeah, I know maybe we could have done more with that.
Yeah, I know they cut a lot out, so there's probably a lot more of that kind of stuff. But as it exists in the movie, it felt extraneous to me.
I love the look. I love the imagery. I love that shot where he jumps into the vat after Harley Quinn, and he's wearing that deep, like, blood red shirt. I love he's wearing the gun holster. I like the look. I thought the performance was good. I like the Joker. I would like to have seen more of him in this
movie. I like that Jack liked it. That is as much as I can say about it.
All right, I mean, Heath Ledger was, in my opinion, the better performance in general. But I did like
I'm glad you can see.
I did like this take on the Joker. I'm not gonna trash it. I thought it was a good performance. I wanted to see more, and that's all I'm gonna say on the subject.
All right, fair enough. All right, so we'll get into this.
I think Jack Nicholson did a good job too when he did it.
Mark Hamill is my favorite Joker, if anyone wanted to know.
He is a great Joker.
He's my favorite, legit.
All right, so I also think this movie really could have been subtitled Character Introductions and Non-Lethal Helicopter Crashes.
That's really what is at the core of this movie. Yeah.
You're constantly being introduced to characters. Many times characters you have already been introduced to.
The first half hour of this movie is just flat-out exposition.
Yeah.
It's, so here's this guy, 5 minutes. Here's this person, 3 minutes. Yeah. Just, you know, it...
Which...
They forgot show, don't tell.
And they did, and some characters get only an in-depth introduction and then get no development. Right. Like, Killer Croc's character development stops with his backstory. Like, that's it. Yeah. You never know anything else about him.
Yeah, no, and at points in this, especially with, I think it was Boomerang, or it was one of them, I think it was him, where it was like, I feel like I should have seen some other movie to understand what this is.
Yeah.
Like, there's a Boomerang movie that I missed or something. But
this is, well, we're not even into the
because they did all these introductions, but they did it in a way that felt like you should have already known this character.
Where
the Flash shows up, is like, oh, did I miss a Flash and Boomerang movie?
Well,
like,
what they're trying to do is what took Marvel several years to do. They're trying to jam into 2 years and 4 movies, and it's just... You can't. It's
right. The Flash has been in 2 of these movies now, and hasn't had like a Flash movie where you know anything about the Flash.
Right.
Yeah. And they also kind of forgot to show in Captain Boomerang, unless you're a comics fan and you know Captain Boomerang, you'd be like, wait, what is this guy's deal? When he pulls out a remote controlled boomerang at the end, an audience member who is not a in-depth comics reader would be like, seriously, what is happening? Like, why did this guy who has been, you know, I know nothing about, just pull out a drone boomerang. All right, so the movie starts off, and where this movie actually starts is almost debatable, but with our first introduction to Will Smith, where he's kind of messing with a guard played by Ike Barinholtz, mm-hmm. who, by the way, I loved in this movie.
Too bad his character hits a wall and then we never see him again.
He just goes away at one point. This whole movie, Ike Barinholtz's character could have been...
They set him up for a comeuppance that doesn't happen.
Right.
We'll get to that.
It does. Yeah, it doesn't. It's another setup that it never delivers on.
It's clear that he's doing a good job, and that they probably... I wonder if they shot something and just said, and cut it out.
Maybe. He's so funny.
Because there's an arc that just stops.
Oh, yeah. He actually... They seem to be closing a loop that never... I mean, I think Ike Barinholtz could read a phone book and I would laugh at it. Like, that's how much I was enjoying his performance. But it's kind of like, okay, Will Smith is Deadshot. He's messing with a guard at this black site prison. A ton of guards go in and beat him up.
Yeah.
okay, all right. I mean, the scene really doesn't get us anywhere, but I'm like, okay. And then we get a scene where it establishes nothing other than Harley Quinn is insane.
Yeah.
That's it. There is no other takeaway from that scene.
There's not even another reason why they're visiting her in her cell.
No.
Just to show how sexy she is and that they can shock the bars and she hates them.
She's sexy and crazy. That's why either of these needed to be a scene is beyond me, because...
You already know Harley Quinn. I mean, if you're going to see this movie, most people know.
Well, yeah, or they establish it so many other times in the course of the movie. Like, you didn't need to establish... If there's one concept this movie doesn't need to further, it's that Harley Quinn is insane.
Right, yeah.
Got it.
Right.
And this is where they see that scene where this guard is merciless and he tortures her and she hates him. And you're like, this guy is going to get his comeuppance.
Right, and
he's messing with Deadshot. He's messing with Harley Quinn. It's clear he gets off on torture.
I mean, these guys are like murderers and stuff. Though.
Yeah, true. But it doesn't give the guards free reign to torture them. It's sort of this idea of justice, which is of course a.
I mean, there are some like super secret
in the movie
island like prison.
True, but still.
One, and at the same time as these are going on, then we're also cutting back and forth to Viola Davis as Amanda Waller. Mm-hmm. With
cinematic introduction of this character from the comics.
No, she's in Green Lantern.
That's right.
Remember
she got flushed down the giant green toilet.
Flushed down the toilet.
Yes, I apologize. Green
Played by Angela Bassett.
That was the same.
It's the same character.
It's the same character. I forgot. Yeah, the performance is so different.
Actually, have they said if Green Lantern's tied into this DC universe?
No, I don't think it is.
They have been distinctly
non-committal
on what is going to happen.
They bring back that Green Lantern like into one of these movies.
Yeah, they like Deadline and some of the other sites have said that they are waffling between many options, including rebooting Green Lantern with Ryan Reynolds.
I don't think they can.
Yeah. But so we go to this Viola Davis. It's just basically exposition dinner where she's with a couple of other national security guys. And she's kind of introducing this concept of she wants to build a team of super villains.
Mm-hmm.
And a suicide squad, if you will.
Yes.
Yeah. To do the government's dirty work. So there's plausible deniability if something goes wrong. Well, no, these are criminals who escaped. They did this evil thing that we secretly told them to do.
To which point, immediately, two government guys are like, nope, sounds stupid, and no thank you.
They're totally going to try to take over the world.
This makes no sense. And she's like, oh, no, we haven't told you about this witch we captured. And I think this is when they give the backstory on the Enchantress here, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay, Dr. June, I can't say this without laughing. Dr. June Moon.
Yeah.
One of the, just a name that maybe they should have considered changing. Archaeologist on a dig, solo expedition apparently, goes into a cave, finds an incredible artifact, and as an archaeologist would do, tries to crack its head open like it's a Pez dispenser. I don't know a lot about archaeology. Is that how it works? Do you just break open the first artifact?
You want to see what's in it before you. Yeah.
I hear it just belongs in a museum. Yeah. That is the entire knowledge I have of archaeology.
Yeah. Hey, this belongs in a museum. You know what? Screw that. What's inside?
Could be something good inside, you know.
It's
one of those mystery boxes. Yeah. Like, oh, what figurine's in here?
Yeah.
Prize inside. Free prize inside.
So it lets out a witch. The witch takes over... I don't know. Dr. June Moon and the Enchantress are somehow inhabiting one body, and the government then went in and got the witch's heart so they can kind of control this witch.
I don't know.
I'm sort of ignorant to this branch of the DC universe. Is Enchantress this? Like this in the comics?
I'm a little... I don't know much about this character. Okay. I think she is in the comics, but I don't...
I just want to say, I think this right here was the movie's biggest mistake.
Yes.
Yeah.
Just for what eventually happens with this character, and if they had changed things here, it could have been a much stronger movie.
Well, because there's really... The Enchantress is really the movie's primary villain, but there's nothing there. Neither... Like, the Enchantress has Cara Delevingne, I felt terrible for her. She literally never has a scene where she's doing character work. Mm-hmm. We don't know anything about the Enchantress or Dr. June Moon by the end of this movie. Except, Cara Delevingne plays two characters, neither of which get any development.
Yeah.
Yeah, because when she's just June Moon, she's basically like crying and...
She's just crying. We get one cutaway voiceover shot where it's... Or there's some dialogue where she's in a relationship with Rick Flagg.
Yeah, which they kind of... Don't they set up like that he was set up with her by...
Viola Davis said that she had somehow planned that this guy would fall in love
with her. So they can control him and her. I don't know.
Which this makes no sense. Well, yeah.
I think they're controlling him through her.
Yeah. But she gets nothing. And Nick is right. Like, you needed... Not only do you not care about the villain, you don't even know... You don't even know what she's doing or why, or like, I mean, Bond villain, even the worst Bond villain would look at this storyline and be like, come on, guys, you gotta give us something here.
Yeah.
I mean,
she just wants to take over the world. She's an ancient evil that wishes to reclaim her birthright with bizarre.
I think you're even assigning value to it that the movie does just by saying she wants to reclaim her birthright. Troopers. I don't even think the movie gives us that. It's just like, I'm here to take over the world. I'm going to build a machine to do so.
Yep.
Period. End of sentence. Yes. See you at the end of the movie.
Yep. Just to give them something to fight. I was thinking, I agree with Nick, this Enchantress character isn't interesting. And she's a little... I understand the DC Universe is supernatural stuff in it. I get it. But this movie seemed a little bit more grounded. And there's a point to which, within the structure of the story they're trying to tell, where my suspension of disbelief gets snapped, and I think that was the Enchantress. Like, I would have rather... Could there be any other DC villain that they could have found? A mad scientist, a terrorist, a dictator, that you can have them try to go up against.
And you're absolutely right. It does,
or like
try,
the Joker.
It does.
Where the Joker could be the side villain who's always trying to derail them as they go for this big...
It does start off trying to be a little more grounded, I think, just because out of the whole squad, there's one person that actually not including the Enchantress, there's one person that actually has some sort of power.
Well, that's
but everyone else is just like, I don't know why they choose Captain Boomerang. I mean, really good at throwing boomerangs but okay, whatever. But they're all far more grounded, and then they decide to go, oh, we're gonna go completely in the opposite direction and do supernatural for the villain, which
Well, because that's Viola Davis's whole pitch to these government guys is like, ooh, I'm going to put together a team of bad metahumans to fight metahuman threats. Nope, just none of them are really
Killer Croc.
Killer Croc is...
Katana's on her side, and Katana's using a magical sword, so she's not a metahuman.
And Harley Quinn, far from being meta, is just crazy.
Crazy. Deadshot's just a really good shot. Slipknot just has a, what, repelling...
Well, El Diablo. Okay, so El Diablo,
that's El right. Diablo. He's probably the coolest one.
They do a
pyrokinetic.
Yeah. But that's it.
And I did like that, the scene where Captain Boomerang's taunting him with the Bic lighter. I like that. The Zippo lighter. That was funny. Anyway.
All right, so all of this is going on. So we now start to get introduced to Deadshot for... I think there's basically four introductions to Deadshot. I think the second one...
is when he's trying to kill the guy and, you know... Text me more money or I'll let this guy survive.
Pay me or this guy's going to survive. He's doing
establishing
a good man
job. Will Smith is not playing a hero in this movie.
Right.
Because he's always played heroes. He's a very charismatic actor, and they want to establish, hey guys, he's not a nice guy. Right. I don't know if this scene needed to be there, or maybe this should have been his introduction instead of him in the jail cell punching the punching bag.
Well, don't worry, because you've got two more introductions to choose from.
Choose your own introduction.
You know, they give him that. And then we also, in pretty short order, we then get a flashback of how did Deadshot get captured.
Which is the first scene in the movie I really liked.
Yeah, Deadshot is with his daughter. He really cares about his daughter. And Batman's like, hey, man, I don't want to punch you in the face in front of your daughter. Deadshot's like...
Deadshot's going to kill Batman.
All right. Yeah, I don't want to get punched in my face in front of my daughter. So he goes, you know, kind of willingly, I guess, with Batman.
Well, the idea is he's gonna actually shoot Batman, and then the little girl gets in the way.
Right.
So he decides, I'm going to do the right thing, so there's some humanity to this guy.
Right. And if it feels like over the next few minutes that we're just like vomiting like backstories on you, it's what the movie does to you.
It is.
We get a terrible backstory for Harley Quinn. I don't even really like the Harley Quinn character very much.
I liked her in the movie.
I like her in animated series. I watched that show when I was a kid, and I love this character.
Well, but the one we get in the movie is not the animated series Harley Quinn.
Well, yeah, she's different. But
And I love Margot Robbie in this. Yeah. I don't like the character. I did think Margot Robbie was doing fantastic work.
She does. Mm-hmm. She's very obviously having fun with the role too.
Yeah,
her and Jai Courtney, I think, were the only two people that looked like they were actually having fun making this movie.
Yes, I would agree. But like, and the trick with the Harley Quinn story is like, it's really creepy and like a feminist nightmare of like that the Joker.
I mean, isn't that basically the backstory though? Is like she was.
Yeah.
A doctor, and he basically just turns her crazy.
He turns her crazy, yeah. And she falls in love with him, which is a little like, ooh.
Well, that's the idea.
And then what the DC Comics ended up doing that the animated series didn't fully go into was this really kind of toxic relationship where Harley is sort of drawn to the Joker, but is also trying to get away from the Joker, and that kind of both of these things are, you know,
which is one of those awesome concepts they didn't do in this movie.
Well, they didn't do it in this.
They should have done it in this movie, and they did not.
Yeah,
I wonder if a cut exists where they did do that.
Maybe it's.
I mean, it's there, but it's like there. You got to read deep to see it.
And I think you kind of have to bring your own knowledge of that to this movie
to find that.
I think if somebody watched this movie and had never known of a character called Harley Quinn, they would be very concerned by like what was going on and why. Because it doesn't give you, it just doesn't, the movie doesn't establish a base for this character, nor does it ever establish a base for why she is the greatest physical fighter of all time. So to understand that, you have to be a fan of the DC Injustice video game series, I believe.
It's a movie. Crazy means superpowers. If you're crazy, you're immortal in a movie. It's just the way it works.
I guess, but
I have is anxiety. What do I get from that?
Yeah. Nothing. Just a lot of sweats in the night and panic attacks.
And night terrors.
Damn. Yep.
Did it bother anyone else that they never explained why Harley Quinn is by far the best physical fighter?
They never do.
Like, on Earth in this
they
movie?
They never do, except and people... I'm forced to read into this and make this up myself. A, she's crazy, so she's not holding back. And B, because she's tiny, people underestimate her and they're off their guard. But that's me reading into that, trying to justify it as I'm watching it. There is nothing in the film that states why she's super strong, except the she's crazy, she's immortal that you generally see in movies, particularly in horror movies and psychological thrillers from the 90s. They're crazy. Yeah. They're unstoppable.
And then we also get to meet Captain Boomerang, played by Stop the Movie favorite Jai Courtney, who shows up.
Favorite?
Well, he was in that last terrible Die Hard movie as John McClane's son.
Yep.
He was in I, Frankenstein.
Okay. Yes.
I think he was in something else we did too.
I think Captain Boomerang was great in this movie.
He is. Do you think that at any point on the set anybody said, hey, Jai, hey man. None of us can understand literally anything coming out of your mouth area. Should we work on that?
I thought he was entertaining. I
thought he was one of the things. Well, here's, again, this movie has one of the other sins, one of my other movie's seven deadly sins, which Cody touched on earlier, radical tonal shifts. Yeah. Right? Sometimes it's dark and serious. Sometimes it's supernatural. Sometimes it's light and funny. Sometimes it's sadistically funny.
Funny like the pink unicorn?
Like, what? Sometimes you're watching Silence of the Lambs, sometimes you're watching Deadpool, sometimes you're watching The Mummy, you know, it's like you're bouncing all around this movie, and I think he's in the lighthearted, more comedic film, right?
Right.
I just can't wait to get to my favorite supervillain, which was Slipknot.
Of course.
Well, we're coming up, and it's okay, so, and also...
Who gets the best introduction?
Absolutely.
His the funniest. Well, we get El Diablo, too, played by Jay Hernandez.
This character is really cool.
I really liked Jay Hernandez's work in this a lot. I thought...
A gem in the movie.
He brought... Yeah, it really was.
No, seriously. He's like the gem in the pewter necklace. He's a ruby, you know?
Yeah.
His is so dreamy. The one character that actually has some sort of arc.
Yes.
In this whole movie.
Yes. It's still very confusing because even when the movie ended, I didn't understand exactly what his powers were. In fact, I had more questions about his powers.
He's a firebender.
Well, but then he turns into a fire monster and seems to be fully aware that he can. Because he's like, hey, guys, by the way, I never mentioned it, but I can turn into a 20-foot-tall fire monster, so I got this. Useful.
Well, if you had seen the El Diablo movie that came out 3 years ago, you would know. You would already know all this, right?
Yeah. Well, or if you'd seen...
I believe he was the villain in the Booster Gold movie.
The Booster Gold Blue Beetle team-up movie that we've all wanted.
That's the expanded universe movie.
I'd pay to see it.
They show at one point with El Diablo a surveillance video of him using his powers, or he like gets angry at a prison and like kills a ton of people with a fire wave.
Yeah.
If you missed it, don't worry. They will show you that surveillance video again for unknown reasons, because this movie is obsessed with the introductions.
They have to remind you that he can do that because he doesn't do anything for most of the movie.
I think
he's kind of gone zen. Like, he doesn't want to be a criminal anymore.
He's
kind of
tags along behind him, and then, like, that chap's like, hey, use your fire, and he's like, no.
Don't you think that's why they played it twice?
Because when
they
played it the second time, I was like,
we've seen this. Yeah, we watched the surveillance video once already. It's black and white surveillance video. You're not even showing it to me from another angle. Like, you're literally just showing me the same surveillance video. So then, how does this... I'm trying to...
So, basically, okay, so... To get into it, finally.
We're like 40 minutes into the movie right now.
Yeah, I know. Well,
how many albums is that?
Something with...
How many albums in are we?
Okay, so there's something with the Enchantress where she, like... Rick Flag somehow, like, lets her loose on accident or something. And she, like, goes and, like, awakens her brother.
Sticks
him into like the mouth of this unsuspecting businessman. So he has a body to possess.
And then he starts, like, attacking somewhere...
He's in
the subway or something, right? Yeah.
Right.
Starts to attack people. And so they say, like, okay, we need you to go in with the Enchantress to stop this guy.
Right.
I meant to make note, what city is it? I know it's one of the...
It's Midland City.
It's Midland City. I think that's right. It's another Midland? DC. I've never heard of it.
Which my question is Midway. Okay, Midway.
No, that's not the Flash City.
No, he's Central City.
Is Green Arrow Midway?
He's in Starling City.
Star City.
He might be Arrow City. Well, Gotham's not Bat City, so.
Yeah.
There's Metropolis, Coast City.
Yeah.
What are the cities in DC?
I'm looking at
Gotham. Is Gotham?
Because there's a hero.
Metropolis.
There's a hero that should be taken care of.
Star Central.
See, in my head, because I didn't know nothing about Midway City, like they're saying that this was a city in between Gotham and Metropolis.
They're adjacent to one another.
Because
in Batman and Superman.
Yeah, because I remember that there was just like a river between them. So I'm like, how is there another city around? But I guess it must be somewhere else completely. But
it's like New York and Jersey.
Part of Midwestern United States, based loosely on Chicago.
Oh, okay.
So, but anyway, so.
Oh, it's Hawkman City.
Oh, okay. There you go.
Which, man, you want to talk about confusing? We'll save that for another day.
City. Yeah. So they send Rick Flag in with his girlfriend June Moon under the subway, and like he turns her or lets her turn into the Enchantress.
But this time he lets her do it. He's making her escape.
Well, he's not. I don't think he's.
No, they don't.
They need him to set up a bomb or something.
We haven't set up who Rick Flag is yet.
He's a guy.
Yeah. Army guy.
Yeah, he's a colonel in the army that's supposed to basically be the field leader.
He's like the Lee Marvin in the Dirty Dozen.
Yes.
Without the charisma.
Yeah. Without the charisma.
Yeah.
So, and he's dating June Moon. So then they decide, because now the Enchantress is loose and her brother is loose and they're like creating, they're doing something in the city. And so they're like, okay, now we need to send the Suicide Squad in. So let's gather the Suicide Squad.
Which, by the way, let me note this too. This is another place where the movie falls apart. How did Amanda Waller sell the feds in this? She showed them what the Enchantress can do,
right?
And she's like, "Hey, see what this Enchantress can do. This is why we need the Suicide Squad."
Now, is she using the Enchantress as like, "This is what she can do to you, so we need the Suicide Squad to stop threats like her"? Or is she saying,
"No,
she's on the Suicide Squad"?
They're selling her as she's on the Suicide Squad.
But she's not.
She's our marketing materials. So these guys, first of all, in the meeting, they should have been like, yeah, no, we don't need the rest of your B criminals. We just need this superpowered witch. And then when that superpowered witch goes the other way, they'd be like, guys, we're screwed. She was the only thing you sold us on this concept on.
Why don't we call Superman? What's he doing?
Yeah.
He's dead.
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, he's dead. That's right. They used the stock footage from the other movie.
Yeah.
They didn't even bother to, like, re...
That was part of her, like, oh, see, we don't have Superman now, so now we need...
We need Captain.
Even though Superman was around for six months, as far as I can tell.
We have Wonder Woman and The Flash. If Lex Luthor can invent the superhero logos for all these superheroes, why can't Viola Davis find them and say, we need these guys, and she could assemble the Justice League? I mean, no, Amanda Waller is supposed to be like a shady version of Nick Fury. She's like the DC counterpart, but she's like not. She's morally gray. And
Nicole Rage.
She's cold-hearted, yeah. But at the same time, you'd think that she'd be like, you know, I think we could trust this Aquaman character Deadshot.
Maybe they should have called Green Lantern then.
Maybe. Yeah.
And made a big green glove and punched her away.
Yes, exactly.
So,
but yeah, okay.
So then they start gathering the Suicide Squad, and a scene where they have them all. They gather them all and give them their stuff back.
We get another introduction to Will Smith, where they show up like, "Hey, here's a bunch of guns. What can you do?" And I'm like, "We know what he can do. We know. We've seen it. He's a great
shot.
Yeah,
that's why he's called Deadshot." Yeah.
And so
might have been an ironic name.
Yeah. So they gather the team. They tell them, like, you're going to the city. We have bombs in your necks, and if you try to escape, we'll blow you up.
Right.
By the way, this guy's coming with you. Here's Slipknot. And Slipknot comes out of a truck, and he's like, hey, guys, I'm Slipknot.
He punches a woman in the face.
There's an ADR line where they're like, he can climb anything.
Yeah. What? Like, that's a terrible... So
simply for the fact they don't take 3 minutes showing us an elaborate backstory. My favorite introduction.
Well, that is true.
Oh, yeah.
He's Slipknot. He can climb anything.
He can climb anything. Doesn't that sound like a line they would have given to, like, an early 90s G.I. Joe character when they were running out of, like, G.I. Joe? he can... Well, let's see. We already did the guy who's good with computers. This G.I. Joe can climb anything.
Here's Pickaxe. He can climb anything.
Yeah. I mean, it just...
Jack's destroying my audio over here.
That's pretty lame.
That's what they call me. That's why they call me audio killer now.
Clip sound.
Clip sound. Yes! That's my Carol Brown name.
The Clipper.
And we are, throughout this, starting to get all this stuff with the Joker, who is trying to... Get at Harley Quinn.
This was the stuff that I liked, and everything else was kind of like, get out of my face. Like this dangerous relationship where he's like obsessed and he's chasing her. Wouldn't that make more sense if they had a non-supernatural threat that they got to kill, but every time they make headway, the Joker comes in and screws it up, and oh my God, the Joker, we got to run. But then Harley Quinn is kind of secretly bringing the Joker along. But you know what I mean? That would have made it a more complicated story, but at the same time, a more interesting story. Which is kind of what they're doing, but not enough and not well.
And there's too many flashbacks.
And this concludes this week's episode of Jack Rewrites the Movie.
Jack rewrites the film in a better way. Jack takes a pass at the script.
I do.
But they do introduce Slipknot. They're like, all right, ready to go, guys. And then I think this was going to be my so wrong it's right brother suit. Now I think Slipknot is literally from the moment he is introduced to the moment he is dead is something like 6 minutes.
I believe it.
You know, movie time.
He wasn't shown in any of the trailers, so you kind of knew. When I saw this in the theater, I was like, "This is spoiler alert. This is the guy that they're going to kill to show that Flag is serious about blowing his heads off if they try to escape."
He is very obviously.
It's like really
inserted just for one.
The actor does a good job. I mean, I would like to have seen more of him, I guess, but at the same time, you got to get him out of the way. So
how can you tell if he does a good job? He wasn't on.
All he's got to do is look tough and intimidating and then pull off repelling, and he did.
Wasn't on screen long enough to decide.
I'm going to give him that. The character was dumb, but you know, he did what he could.
Potentially Oscar-caliber performance.
Yes. No.
I really believed his head blew up in that scene.
he sold that sucker. Come on.
He's method.
And I would say equally frustrating as Slipknot was the realization that the Enchantress, the Cara Delevingne character, is making yet another machine that is somehow sucking a world
every superhero movie that I've seen.
It's all of them now, it's a big thing in the sky and
which is another reason why I think going supernatural, it should have been a more, I don't want to say realistic, but grounded type of villain, because it's just this escalation now. Now the next movie's got to be a bigger threat.
It's a bigger threat.
And then the threats are meaningless now.
Right.
Because it's like, it's well, like yeah, Avengers
when
where the
when in Man of Steel they destroy Metropolis. And it's like, where do you go from there? Let's destroy Gotham City.
Yeah. Well, and you would start to think someone would be like, God, we got to deal with these world destroying machines. Like, we would start we building like plan. A catalog of them.
Call Christopher Maloney up again.
Yeah. 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 Ugh. So now, okay, and by the way, the Suicide Squad team members, they seem to be signing on for this mission even before they know about the explosives in their necks. Yeah. Like, some of them seem to be on board for this anyway, and I'm like, why? Why would, you know...
Yeah, get out, get some fresh air.
I guess that's true. You're like, okay, if you're Killer Croc, you're like, ah, you know, my life is not great. Like, you know?
Some of these sewers I haven't explored yet.
I'm just glad...
I've got a cabin fever. It's like, ah, yeah.
I was just glad they put Killer Croc in a movie. I didn't, you know...
They don't do anything with him.
No, but he is, he's there. He's
in a movie.
He's kind of like Bane and Batman and Robin. It's like, okay, but he's there.
And we, if Slipknot's introduction is seems jarring and rushed, how about Katana?
Katana, oh my God. Let's get this. They're on a helicopter. She jumps into the helicopter. This is Katana. Her blades can steal human souls. And we're like... Yeah, okay.
Sure.
Yeah. Whatever.
By the way, this is what we're given. That's the one thing we're given. Her blade steals human souls. Okay. Does that ever become relevant in the movie?
No.
No. Never comes back. It's the only thing we know about her.
Is she going to trap the Enchantress's soul?
Nope.
Nope.
Nothing. It never comes into play.
Why not just say, this is Katana. She's an excellent sword fighter.
I was unclear for a little bit of the movie if she
Assassin.
Was with Rick Flagg. Like, or not
well,
like
she's definitely working. She's like, working for Amanda Waller, but is she? Now, I don't know this character from the comics. Is she a villain who Amanda Waller is leveraging, or is
no.
she just a hero who's on
I
the
think
payroll?
She is. She is a hero.
Okay.
She's here, but there's that weird scene when Deadshot's like, "All right, villains, we're going to get a drink at the hotel bar," and Katana
says, "I don't
like,
drink with people without honor or something."
Or
right?
something, but she goes right in with them. She's like Rick Flagg. She like ditches
well,
Rick Flagg.
But doesn't she not though? Isn't there some line where she says,
"I
don't remember."
She goes in. Yeah,
okay.
Probably. They all ditched Rick Flagg at that point.
Yeah, they all pretty much. But I was like, oh, okay, like, and she's here too. Like, there's just so much, you know, so much. I also start having notes or a note at this point of like, I need less music. I think this is where Cody is saying where like music tracks start to be like 20 seconds. Like
I
it's
think this
like
is
samples.
Where it, I think it's when they get into the city is where they kind of stop doing that.
Yeah,
for a bit.
Yeah, because I don't remember too much of it in the second or third act, but
no,
the first act
it's most of the first act. I guess
I feel like the first act was done like as a different movie or by a different director or something, and then like tagged onto this movie. That's how it felt to me because it was like very clear separation of. Like
well,
quality.
Because you're right, because they go into the city with the goal of the Suicide Squad. Well, what the goals are unclear. First, it's like, oh, so a Suicide Squad are stopping the Enchantress.
Mm-hmm.
No. Suicide Squad are going in to extract
something
very valuable.
They're told that they're going in to extract, what's her name?
June Moon?
Viola Davis, I think.
Well,
no,
but they
no,
don't
they're
know.
Told, they're told that they're going in to extract someone important.
Oh,
someone,
so they were
the target.
Okay, right.
Someone important, but not
but
stop
June?
The
but
Enchantress.
But they weren't told that they were going to have to stop the Enchantress. Yeah.
Yeah. So
but
the, like,
they
okay.
were already, now here's what they're doing with this movie, right? Viola Davis needs the Suicide Squad to clean up her mistake, which is letting out the Enchantress. Yet, Viola Davis created the Suicide Squad before she even knew that the Enchantress was going to escape and sent them out on the mission.
Right.
Right before she lost the Enchantress. Therefore, it becomes a paradox. As if Viola Davis read the final chapter of the script, so her character Amanda Waller was self-aware and said, well, I'll send them preemptively for when I eventually do lose the Enchantress, which I'm not going to prevent. It seems like a
well,
self-fulfilling...
They might not have known it was the Enchantress yet, but there was obviously something going on
in
the city.
And
they
knew
she
was loose.
But she already knew she was loose, and don't they imply later on, like when she goes all like black ops and kills her own people, that this was to cover up her own mistake, which is letting the Enchantress out?
That might have been a decision
an
she made later, but,
okay.
but I think it originally started as, okay,
okay
something
that's
bad.
How it seemed to me.
I think she wanted Enchantress on the team initially, which really, if you're Enchantress and you're in a team with like Slipknot and Captain Boomerang,
let,
you're probably like, I'm better
but
than this.
But does she, if I may be forgetting, does she let them, does she set them on their mission before she loses the Enchantress? Or after?
After.
Oh, it is after?
It's after.
Oh, okay, then it makes sense. I just didn't remember
well,
if it was
with,
before or
with
after.
The way that the flashbacks... This is another movie that's flashbacking within flashbacks, so you're not wrong for losing track of what this movie's
timeline is. I was a little... And I just watched this thing a second time, you know, this morning, and I'm still a little bit lost on that, like whether or not...
Yeah.
Because they're playing up Amanda Waller is sort of the quote-unquote villain of the movie. In a way, because she is very morally ambiguous and she's not a nice person. But what she's doing is to protect the world, so which I like that. The character is fine. I'm simply that motivation in this tone, this movie.
Let us take note, Jack is pro-saving the world.
Yeah. I am pro-saving the world.
Another hot take.
So
I want Viola Davis on my team, no offense.
Update your stop the movie spreadsheet.
I'm not sure what her motivations are, and it gets even more confusing.
All right, so they are now in the city. Slipknot is like, there's like one line of dialogue between Captain Boomerang and Slipknot where he's like, "Hey, do you want to get out of here?" And Slipknot's like, "Yeah, okay." And he's like, he starts to rappel, and it's literally like he starts around Rick Flag's
I'll say, I'm not gonna lie. It was kind of lame how it was kind of thrown in there, like he was the sacrificial lamb, but I did like this scene. In the comedic, in the Tarantino version of the Suicide Squad, the scene would have worked.
If we cared about Slipknot literally at all, I mean, like, he is all but a red shirt, you know, in this scene.
It was red after that bomb went off.
So then they do the thing in this movie, which another thing that I hate, which kind of goes with what Nick was saying about the supernatural villain, is that it's like the bad guys that they have to fight constantly are like these mutated like creatures that the Enchantress creates out of
faceless
it's like, a very like 90s like Power Rangers villain kind of thing, and I hate it because it's like just have like your goons or something, you know, but it's like these faceless like creatures that are,
or have the soldiers be brainwashed and like have their eye color be different so you can tell which ones like their eyes are yellow or something, and that's how you know.
I think they wanted to put in scenes of Deadshot mowing things down, and they were like,
gotta keep it to PG-13.
That's gonna be hard to sell.
They didn't want the R rating.
But it turns out they are people.
Soylent Green is people.
I think this movie could have benefited from an R rating.
Oh, yeah.
Just have Deadshot mowing people down.
Oh, this wasn't Deadshot R-rated?
No, it's PG-13. There may be an R-rated extended cut or something on Blu-ray, but I think that was the reason why the villains are faceless, because they didn't want Will Smith to literally be mowing people down, because that would have pushed it up to an R-rating.
But how many movies are people mowing people down, though? I mean, it's a movie about supervillains.
As we just watched View to a Kill, where Christopher Walken machine gunned hundreds of people.
Bond movies all the time.
But Cody's right, because this is also like, it's another superhero movie where the goons are faceless. It's like,
so you don't care.
Robots or Martians. Like, like just like
Chitauri invasion.
Crowds of things for the villains to take out. And you're like, all right.
And it's not like it's like Batman mowing people down, which he does do in this universe, but it's not like, you know, the hero. It's like, these are bad guys anyways. Deadshot is a murderer who mows people down. He just kills people.
They went out of their way to establish it again, because they want people to know, hey, it's Will Smith, but he's a bad guy.
Right.
And that's where this movie, and I will say this, I loved Will Smith in this movie.
Oh, so do I. I think he did a great job.
I liked him a lot.
I liked seeing him play a bad guy. You never get to see that.
I got the feeling that it was like, oh, I'm in an ensemble movie for the first time in 20 years. I don't need to try that hard.
That
was kind of the impression I got.
I thought
my impression was that he tried harder than I thought he was going to when I watched it. Like, he seemed more into it than I thought he'd be totally like checked out. But he had some moments where he's more into it.
There's a movie.
He has good chemistry with Margot Robbie. I think it worked.
They did have chemistry.
There's also a movie within the movie of him and Joel Kinnaman as Rick Flag.
Yes.
It's basically a buddy cop movie.
Yeah.
And I kind of liked that buddy cop movie that's existing inside of this.
A lot of movies.
I think that's why the second act is the part that I liked about the movie. And I think it was because that stuff with Will Smith.
You get the most character development as they're kind of trekking through the city.
Right. Yeah. And you get stuff with him and Harley Quinn. You get stuff with him and Rick Flag. And I that stuff worked for me.
And we didn't even mention, by the way, that when they were brought into the city, their helicopter was shot down.
Yeah, it's crash number one.
And violently crashes. Mm-hmm. And everyone, and I was like, one of the Suicide Squad members is not going to survive. And I was like,
they're
going to kill
them throughout the movie.
I'm like, I think that Slipknot guy probably didn't make it out of the...
I was thinking crocodiles don't belong in the air.
Or that, but everybody just walks in and everyone's fine.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's like that helicopter... That helicopter didn't.
Costumes aren't mussed up.
Everyone's good to go.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And but it does set a tone for what we will see coming up
later
on.
Two or three more.
So then they kind of get into a office building
in a world where men can fly. Helicopters cannot.
Helicopters go down. They get at this office building. They find out they're rescuing Amanda Waller, which, to be honest, I don't know why they like hid this from the Suicide Squad.
But... Yeah, eventually, because there's some stuff in between where they're like fighting the guys, and I think like because that happens a little later on, right?
Yeah,
there's stuff where like El Diablo finally uses his firepower.
Oh, that's true. Yeah,
kill some bad guys.
Deadshot Goatsman using it.
There was an Easter egg in their trek through the city that I really liked that I don't think would mean much to either Jack or Cody. And if you caught it, you might have liked it. They're passing by the John Ostrander Federal Building at one point.
I saw that. Why do I know that name?
He is the guy who basically created the Suicide Squad in the
80s. Okay.
DC, the writer.
Okay. Yeah, DC basically told him, we got all these C-level villains that never get used for anything. Think you could do something with this?
Yeah.
And it wound up becoming...
The concept is good.
It's a good concept. And this was in the mid-80s. And I mean, it was... definitely a darker tone than a lot of other DC stuff at the time.
Well, so. Dark Knight Returns probably had just come out if it's
80s. Yeah, Dark Knight Returns is 86. Watchmen, same year, I think. But, I mean, this was in within the main DC universe.
This was a monthly. This was just a monthly.
Yeah, this was
this wasn't a one-off.
No, this was
they're introducing a little darkness to a more colorful universe.
Yeah.
Got it.
Yeah.
So, eventually, after all that, they do get to the office building and... Rick Flagg's like, okay, guys, wait out here. I'm going to go into this super secure room or whatever. And he goes in, and Amanda Waller's in there. And she's like, okay, I'll get me out. And then, like, Deadshot just, like, walks into the room.
Yeah, Deadshot and Harley Quinn are like, oh, okay, yeah, we decided not to stay. Okay. Right.
And he's like, oh, that's who we're rescuing? Okay, great.
Yeah, no one's even, like, freaked out. Everyone's like, okay, well, whatever. I got a bomb in my neck.
Face the zombies, giant witch, whatever.
Yeah. They're like, okay, so...
And I think this is where she kills the other people in the room, like the other agents.
She murders all the other agents.
And Deadshot's just like, oh, okay.
Well, and you think, I would be like, if I'm Amanda Waller, I'd be like, okay, look, the whole city's melting down. There's freaking faceless zombies everywhere. These guys, these agents, I would be like, okay, like, we probably need all the help we can get. And I don't
know. Them all.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't like this because it seemed to work against her, end game. Unless she's trying to cover up her mistake... Or it's just there to show that this is not someone you should mess with.
Yeah, I think
but they already established that she is a very dangerous person.
This is basically like the third introduction of Amanda Waller. Is basically, I think why they do this.
Yeah,
you know,
she's
I mean,
like, get me out. I don't want all these other people slowing us down.
But we're already like, we already know you're a bad lady.
She's
like,
playing it well,
this.
And then I just think that this was this was almost like let's crap on the character.
But then there's no like. They keep setting up to be worse and worse. Because at first I'm like, okay, she's ruthless or whatever, but she's the good guy in the movie. I mean, and if you look at it from the right perspective, these are still the bad guys, and she's like, well, we can't let them lose because they're the bad guys.
Right.
And then she does this. It's like, okay, so she's pretty bad. And then there's never like a comeuppance for her. Like, she doesn't get killed or anything. No. But that's what I was waiting for, is later on, like, her getting blown up by the Joker or something. But I was like, no, she's just at the end. She's like, okay, so thanks, guys.
Because they bring her up to the roof, and she's like, all right, I got to get on a helicopter.
She's a pretty big figure in the DC universe, isn't Amanda Waller?
She is now.
Okay.
She is now. I mean,
was she at the time, did the movie boost the character's popularity? Because I know the character, I know comics, but Amanda Waller is not a mainstream character, and I knew her.
They had started building her up, I want to say, 10 years ago?
Yeah, probably 10 years ago.
I mean, she basically started to become a thing with... the Suicide Squad comic.
Yeah.
But, you know, didn't really do a whole lot with her. And then, I want to say like 10 years ago or so.
Okay.
DC did a whole lot of different events to try and kind of change the status quo a lot.
Okay.
I think they almost wanted her to be the Nick Fury
of
like the DC universe.
Like, but sort of a darker Nick Fury.
A dark Nick Fury.
Yeah.
Was this a New 52 thing when they brought her in?
No. This is pre that. Okay. Yeah.
More like Secret Identity era around there.
Yeah.
So they get to the roof, and the helicopter comes to rescue them, but then it's not. It's like the Joker.
They're like, this helicopter's been compromised. Yeah. You know, everybody down, and it's the joke. It is. It's a Joker who's like, by the way, spraying bullets everywhere. It's a miracle Harley Quinn wasn't murdered.
Well, if she was a faceless zombie, she would have been.
Oh, that's true.
All the faceless zombies' fault.
Yeah.
Joker's missing every shot.
Which, it's kind of funny. Okay, so we know as the audience that the Joker is following Harley Quinn. The only other character in the movie who is aware of this is Deadshot, who at one point sees that she has this little phone that a guard got her, and then no one else knows this. No one, people are totally unfazed that the Joker has shown up, and that Harley Quinn, like, everyone's like, okay, and Harley Quinn, like, kind of jumps on this helicopter. He deactivates her nanite device, which is a whole subplot that we do not need to talk about because it was ridiculous. But her nanite is deactivated. She jumps onto a rope hanging off of the helicopter. And there's a weird moment where Viola Davis is like, kill her. And Deadshot, like, takes a shot. And he's like, oh, sorry, I missed. And everyone's kind of like, ha, 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 ha.
He never misses.
Yeah.
He let her go.
They let her go. But what happens... immediately, the military takes down the Joker's helicopter.
Yeah.
And another helicopter violently crashes.
Yeah.
But, you know, Harley Quinn kind of falls out of it, and then the helicopter violently crashes. And I'm like...
And this is the last time you see the Joker until the end of the movie.
Well, you're supposed to assume that he is dead, but of course he's the Joker.
Well, and there's shots in the trailer where he's wearing, like, the tuxedo he's wearing there, and his face is, like, burned up or whatever. So I'm like, okay, that must be where that's from. And we'll see him pop up again, like, looking like that. But that's never in the movie. Like,
yeah, apparently none of that stuff they did cut out a lot of Joker stuff.
Yeah.
They did. Yeah.
Because I was waiting for that. And it was
not enough for me, but...
I think it was too much for me. We're polar opposites. We're on opposite ends of the table on that one. Literally and figuratively.
Yeah.
Like, I loved that scene so much where she has the flashback and he throws her in the vat. And he's going to leave her to die, and he jumps in. Like, I thought that was a powerful scene.
You really like that scene.
You did cool stuff with the Joker.
But you do also... you have the background of the animated series.
They didn't do anything.
You know what I mean? And if you...
and so it would alienate an audience member who doesn't know this character. Understood. Right. They didn't tell that story very well.
No.
But I freely admit that was one of my beefs with the movie, was all of these unresolved or not developed well enough plot threads. Pick a thread and climb it, you know, or do whatever you want to do.
Yeah, it's just a mess. Mm. Yeah. So after this Joker helicopter plane crash,
well, she escapes. Like, she jumps off on top of a building before it crashes.
Right. And then Viola Davis is like, "All right, bring another helicopter." Okay.
She's got helicopters on us on speed dial.
Yeah, like, there's helicopters everywhere.
Meta human ability. She summons helicopters.
Yeah. And another helicopter comes in. By the way, she's never like... no one in the movie is ever like, what the hell was that? Why did the Joker just show up? Right. Like, what happened?
They're just used to it. He's the crazy clown. You never even get a, God damn it, it's the clown. What? And then they like, Joker, let's go after... you know, like, she knows who the Joker is. You'd think, we know as the audience, even a non-comic knowledgeable audience member knows how dangerous the Joker is. That would have been a cool little scene, like, oh no, it's the Joker. What? We got to change it. We got to go to a different plan because we've got the Joker.
But he really wasn't
that. Right?
He was just like a gangster. So
but he just
like,
shows up because they never developed him, right?
He's not that interesting.
So he just shows up and they're like,
and at 2 hours and 20 minutes, they didn't need more scenes.
But here's another thing. You think if you're Rick Flagg and Viola Davis and Harley Quinn's nanite neck device was just disarmed, you'd be like, whoa, guys, what is going on?
Yeah.
Unfazed. Yep. And we never see a conversation in the movie where someone's like, hey, her neck bomb didn't work. Like, what's going... like, why didn't her neck bomb work?
Theoretically, the Joker...
as soon as they got back, they called the IT department, screamed at the help desk operator.
This probably was a situation where a passive aggressive email was sent to IT afterwards. Like, just to let you know. You know.
Arguably, this Joker would be more dangerous because he has goons and access to guns and stuff instead of just a lone terrorist with a lighter and some gasoline.
I guess.
Because he's got an army behind him.
Yeah, but that makes it less interesting.
It makes it less interesting.
If I have an army of people, I can do whatever I want to.
It makes it less interesting, but nonetheless, they would view him as a threat to their mission instead of just saying, shoot the helicopter down.
Well, the city is already burning down.
Right. I guess they don't
things
care.
Are already
what's
pretty
a green
bad.
Haired crazy
yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Either way, he's out of the movie now. So.
All right, yeah, so Viola Davis gets into another helicopter, which, surprise, surprise, guess what happens to this helicopter?
Of course.
This helicopter also is like pulled down by like Enchantress's endlessly powered brother.
Yeah, with his whiplash arms.
And it violently crashes. Don't worry, she's fine.
Yep.
If anyone was worried at this point, by this point, I think people are just watching helicopters. They're like bumper cars at the fair.
That's
like everyone's
the most survivable crash ever. Yeah. Just helicopter grasses.
And so she's a captive of the Enchantress. And this is kind of then where the movie takes like this weird turn of like, it essentially, the movie takes a break and like the yeah. characters are like...
I mean, literally, they sit down for a drink.
They literally, yeah, break. They're just literally...
Because they find out, like, because Deadshot Deadshot sees Amanda Waller's file or Rick Flagg's file,
when they go and look at the crashed helicopter.
That's right, yeah. There's like a file that he looks
at. Deadshot looks at a file that's helpfully labeled top secret.
Yes, of course. You know. And there's information. I can't remember exactly what the...
Val Kilmer movie, sadly.
Oh, no. If only.
There's yes.
What did he find out from the file? Is it that, that about the Enchantress?
He finds out that they're actually... That it's like... I don't know, some kind of like... Basically, it's this godlike.
They created the problem,
magical right. thing. They created
And so they're all over Rick Flagg now, and Rick Flagg's over everything too. He's like, oh, just leave, guys. I don't care anymore.
Yeah, because Deadshot's like, why didn't you let us know that the whole world is ending? You know, and that you know this is, which is kind of like, yeah, why didn't you let them? I mean, there's no harm in letting them know. I mean,
yeah,
but they're like, Deadshot's like, all right, I'm going in to have a drink. Who's with me?
Yeah.
And all the Suicide Squad go in for a scene that is essentially like, we talk about exposition dumps a lot. This is essentially, it's not an exposition dump, it's like a character development dump where they just dump character development on you and be like,
yeah,
take this in because this is all you're going to get.
Yep. For this whole movie. The El Diablo stuff here where he talks about how he accidentally killed his family with his fire powers, and that's why he was in jail and in prison.
Why he's chosen not to use the powers again unless he's pushed.
Yeah.
Right.
And
Harley Quinn stuff, is kind of like something, and there's like, again, Killer Croc gets nothing.
Of course. Yeah. You just assume. He's an ugly monster, so he's shunned by society at the end.
Yeah. And then Rick Flagg kind of comes in, and he's just like...
He rallies the troops.
Well, he's burning, and he comes in and he smashes his what is it? It's like a phablet, basically, or something.
Well, it's the thing he uses to blow their heads off.
Yeah, but it's like a Kindle. It looks like a Kindle. Yeah, he's got a Kindle. He smashes it, and he's like, "All right, forget it. The nanites are off." By the way, Harley Quinn's nanite was already off. Yeah. She could have done whatever
and
she wanted.
They're not off. He can't. Because someone else later on is like, oh, I still have control for it, but it's just like he can't now, you know, activate them because he's destroyed his control for it.
Although presumably they should be presuming, oh, Amanda Waller's dead, you know, or like and Captain Boomerang is like, cool, I'm out of here.
Yeah,
he just leaves.
Well, I mean, it kind of fits. These people aren't exactly, you know, friendly. They don't want to work together. They're forced into it, so they're like, screw it at this point.
Yeah, but you get like this kind of like, and then also Rick Flagg is like, hey, Deadshot man, sorry we didn't tell you, your daughter's been writing you once a week. Here are some of the letters that we've been going through a combat. I've been carrying some of your daughter's letters through a combat zone, which is, what were they, the best of? I don't know like how that choice was made. Like, this one was pretty good. I brought it with me. I don't know exactly how they come together.
But it's basically like, I can't remember if it's just like an FU towards him or towards Amanda Waller or something. For some reason, they band together, the squad.
This, by the way, does not speak well to this movie that we can't remember why they actually agreed to work together.
I think it was just Deadshot saying like, I'm gonna go ahead with this, and if anyone else wants to.
I think you're right.
And then they just banded around
This is kind of the trouble that I think the movie runs into, is that in order for this movie to kind of work, they essentially had to portray Will Smith's Deadshot as a hero. But he is not. He is an assassin. Because
they wasted all this time. Hey, guys, remember, it's Will Smith, but he's bad. He kills people for money. He's a bad person.
Who even late in the movie wants to murder Batman.
Yeah.
And they're trying to have that cake and eat it too, and I don't know that ever fully gels. Like, there's...
Well, I'm all right with keeping him a bad guy because that's a juxtaposition of his typical characters that he plays.
But it isn't really what they do, and I think
they're trying to make him heroic. Despite
he did
the
play
fact
the
he's
Devil
evil.
Jack in.
Oh, I forgot. Don't remind me.
That movie was totally different from most Will Smith performances.
So I think it's basically like, oh, I want to save the world because my daughter. If I don't save the world, my daughter will die.
I think you're
something
right.
Like that. And he's
I
like,
think
oh,
you're
so
right.
Save the world, and yeah. So then they go to the subway station, whatever, wherever this.
Which, by the way, they walk outside. and with no explanation given, Captain Boomerang's back on. This guy just ran off.
He boomerangs back. That's why they call him Boomerang.
Yeah. When they did that, I was like, wait, what? That guy just left. Why was he back in the movie? Why is he back in the movie?
It's like, oh, I forgot I had this drone boomerang.
There's 20 pages of script left. Yeah. Sorry.
That's right. There's a lot of time going on. I also start to have notes in my, or have notes starting right here that are like, what is going on with Katana? Like, what is happening here?
I didn't even like the character.
There's no point to having her in the movie. Like, yeah, she doesn't.
Unless she's in the comic Suicide Squad, so she's there to fulfill. Is that what's going on? Like a fan quota?
Yeah, but at the same time, the group they put together for the movie is just... Oh. I mean, over the course of the years, there have been a number of different people on the squad. Yeah, it's...
If they didn't include her, it wouldn't... No, I don't think anybody would have been like, oh, how do you not include her?
Nothing would have been lost. Oh, okay.
So they go to where the bad guys are all set up. Right. And they
have a secret base or a main base.
Yeah, basically they just come up. At one point, the witch is like showing them...
Like false... She implants false visions in their heads of what they want.
To like try to deter them.
To kind of be like, I can give you this thing that you want.
Right. Like with Deadshot, it's him killing Batman in the alley or stuff like that. But they basically just formulate a plan, I guess. Like, oh, Croc, you go into the sewer and then... Luckily, there's a sewer right here.
Dream bigger, buddy. Yeah. Dream bigger.
Yeah.
And then Fire Guy, you fight with fire.
Well, because there's really no plan. Like, they just kind of show up and... Because I'm sitting there, I'm like, okay, what is a guy with boomerangs and like, what are they going to do against what appears to be an all-powerful witch and her brother who might be even more all-powerful in the world of this movie.
All that powerful.
Yeah. Omnipotent, you know. And there never really is a plan.
No, they just kind of go at it. I know, because they send the Croc under into the sub or into the sewers, wherever, where the... into the subway where I think it's flooded.
It's a flooded subway.
Where the bomb was... Oh, he gets the bomb and then plants it under, that's right.
Which, by the way, because Rick Flag's other army guys are like, all right, we're going to plant this bomb. And Croc's like, I'm going to do it. Yeah. And they're kind of like, well, we can do it. And I'm like... Why are you stopping him? why are you... If he says he'll do it, great.
I mean, we paid to transport him here. Yeah. The time he did something.
Yeah.
So he like plants the bomb underneath where the enchantress is, and they have to fight her and get her in the right spot, and then he blows
her
up.
For her brother. Her brother.
Yeah, so Fire Guy's like fighting the brother and then gets him in the right spot, and then it blows up. And
well, because things are going badly, and somebody's like... All of a sudden, El Diablo, who is kind of a pacifist through this movie because he killed his family, and he goes, I lost one family. This is a quote. I lost one family. I'm not going to lose another one.
Yeah. They've been together literally like 4 hours at this point.
Like about 4 hours. Yeah. I'm like, that seems bold. Yeah. Like that you're. And by the way, most of these people do not care about you. At one point, Will Smith seemed to goad you into using your powers.
Yeah.
And outside of that, I don't think anybody...
I already lost one family member when Slipknot was blown up.
Yeah.
I'll see you guys too.
My brother, Slipknot. Never forget.
In memoriam, Slipknot.
So he just turns into a fire monster.
Yeah.
And starts fighting Enchantress's brother. And then I think the army guys are able to blow up the bomb under where they're fighting, which presumably kills Enchantress's brother, although...
Doesn't kill El Diablo, too?
I guess.
Yeah.
This was a little unclear, but I think they like wanted to kind of leave the door open to bring him back.
Apparently bombs can just kill these supernatural creatures. I don't know, they didn't try that. Just
blow up
the building or whatever.
And then they... Harley Quinn kind of like...
There's a moment where, they get...
She wants them. She wants their obedience, she does the classic like again. This movie is full of villain tropes. Like, join me, and Harley Quinn's like in that bad like Harley Quinn like animated series voice that doesn't translate well to live action.
No, no,
like, yeah, maybe I'll join you, and then like cuts her heart out. And then there's like a whole like slow mo sequence of like Killer Croc like throwing a bomb and Deadshot shooting it.
They have to throw it into the laser thing.
Into the world.
So they all work
device.
Together.
Yeah.
Teamwork.
Mm-hmm. Although I will say that I did get a big laugh after it all works, and like Lucien goes up and like Rick Flag jumps on Deadshot and gives him a hug, and Deadshot's like, okay, get off me, man. Like that was like that was the buddy cop movie that I sort of was digging.
So then so they kill the bad guys, and then like Amanda whatever her name is comes out and she's like, hey, I still got the control to kill you guys. So
except, by the way, Harley Quinn, whose nanite has been deactivated this whole time, but is never spoken of again.
Yeah. Yeah. So she's like, "Oh, you're still under my control. So let's go back to prison, I guess."
Yeah. Maybe it was.
I thought there she was going to get killed or something, but nothing happened. Right.
Maybe it was temporarily deactivated.
I don't think so. I think. I guess that's what. But it's funny how no one ever references it again, and she. Harley Quinn, I believe in the world of this movie, could have picked up her comical hammer and gone over and hit Amanda Waller on the head and been like, no thank you.
For some reason, I picture a Warner Brothers cartoon bonk sound effect of that this movie, and it would have worked.
It is a Warner Brothers movie.
Yeah, it is. There you go.
Yeah, I mean, this is a hard movie to talk about because I could actually see myself watching it again someday down the road and... like for some of the stuff in it, but then also like some of it's like
I could watch it from like the from when they get into the city on probably
and I felt bad for a lot of the actors. I thought this movie was really well acted. Like Joel Kinnaman is Rick Flag, he is given nothing and he kind of makes something out of nothing.
We didn't mention though at the end of the movie the Joker busts into the prison to
to break Harley Quinn out again. Which, and I guess there's a post-credit scene, too.
Where Amanda Waller's talking to Bruce Wayne.
That's right.
And she's, like, setting up the Justice League, I think.
That she's...
Or she's giving her information about, like, where you can find, like, The Flash or Aquaman or whatever. Something like that.
Yeah.
I did watch that.
Yeah, it's... It's just so weird because, like, some characters... like. Captain Boomerang, there is no arc. And not that characters even have an arc.
He's the character who didn't really need one. He's more like the comic relief guy, but he was doing that well.
But I don't even know that he's the
movie. I mean, he's a bank robber with a thing for... Well, some of the characters don't need to be changed, I think, in a movie like this. You want... The only character that really, I guess, that has any arc is El Diablo.
Yeah. Well, they also kind of paint this picture of, like, Deadshot.
Maybe he's going to be... remorseful or turnover new leaf, but he doesn't. I love the scene where he's teaching his kid the math and he's talking about, you know, when you're downwind and you're 500 yards, you got to kill this guy, you got to shoot it. Like, I thought that was pretty
cute. I don't know how they would use Deadshot as a villain after what they did in this movie. I think they could only use him as a hero, as a as essentially a
like a dark hero, like an anti-hero.
Well, I thought that I was hoping at the end of the movie that he would be let go, like they'd be like, okay, let's let Deadshot, because he, you know,
and then there's like a smile and a wink. You're gonna turn over a new leaf, and maybe you will, and maybe you won't. I thought that would be.
But instead, it's like he gets to visit his daughter like once a week or whatever for an hour, and then they take him back to the prison.
Yeah. I don't know. I this is a weird movie. Well,
like I said, it's tonal shifts. I think this really suffered because I remember when the initial trailer came out, and it was beautifully done, and it was dark and bleak, and it had like this. This song going through it, and I started a joke trailer, and I thought this looks really dark, but I think this is the movie that needs it. And then half a year later, we get the "I see a little silhouette of a man, ding 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 ding, bonk, we're bad guys, it's what we do." Yeah. And I was like, suddenly the tone. Well, another awesome trailer, but for a different movie. Right? Yeah.
Well, I know they reach. I think they.
And the logo of the movie, this was pointed out to me in an article, so this isn't. But you do notice it. Logo for the Suicide Squad is dark on black, then it's a little more colorful, then it's McDonald's cartoon colored. Like, they were really like post. Oh, no, nobody liked Batman v Superman because it was so dark.
Yeah,
but Guardians of the Galaxy sold. We got to make this funny. Reshoots, re-edits. This film is loaded with it.
I haven't seen Wonder Woman yet. But of the existing DC Universe movies, I would say this is the best.
Of the new, the new
Bible. I
agree.
Oh, don't get me wrong. It is.
I agree with you.
Yeah. Nick looked very sick when he said that.
Yeah.
I know, I agree with you, though.
But at the same time, ironically enough, the one starring the villains was also the most lighthearted. Like, not the Superman movie, but...
Yeah.
the one with all the psychos and murderers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So make of that what you will.
I do want to take the chance. I'm stealing a joke from a friend of mine. Posted this on social media. Someone said, I don't want to take my kids to the one. I'm nervous to let my kids see the Wonder Woman movie. I'm not sure I'm comfortable with the message it's sending out. And someone like responded on social media, like, what? Women, that women can be strong heroes? And he's like, no, the expectation that other DC Universe movies will be good.
Don't forget, we still got Justice League coming at the end of the year, too.
If Wonder Woman is the make or break, if Wonder Woman is good, that they can salvage it. If Wonder Woman is bad, I think it's over for them. I haven't seen it.
I've heard Wonder Woman's good.
Everything I hear about Wonder Woman is amazing.
I've heard it's really good.
I do want to see it. Because I think it's just about damn time they did a Wonder Woman movie. The simple fact that they hadn't done one, they didn't do one back in the back after Tim Burton's Batman was a success is shocking, but whatever.
I'm curious now, though. All the pieces they've been trying to put in place for a Justice League movie.
Too late.
Well, there's a
friend. Because, honestly, they still have to introduce a lot of the characters just in the Justice League movie itself.
And they have to establish Cyborg, which, again, is not something general audiences would know who that is.
We've only seen...
They established him in Batman vs. Superman.
We've only seen snippets of The Flash, even less of Aquaman, and even less of Cyborg. Yeah. So it's like, good luck.
Imagine what they would have done if they decided to throw in Martian Manhunter.
There's no way that thing's going to be less than 3 hours.
Hunter. Oh, my God. Yeah. Well, you know, there's so much stuff, and I think I think friend of the show Chris Barbera, who really did not like Suicide Squad, but also kind of has pointed out that, like, what if the Justice League movie turns out to be really good, and like it's like, you know, kind of that, like, all of a sudden they kind of like shock us all with like
maybe something great. I don't know, it could happen.
I don't know.
It's just
as long as Superman's not in it.
You could see that they went in a wrong direction with Man of Steel and Batman v Superman, that they're aware of it, but contracts have been signed and they want to have faith in their filmmakers, so they're kind of continuing to back them up because they have been making money, but at the same time they're scared because Marvel's doing such a good job being upbeat, but they want to be different from Marvel, so they want to keep it dark. But then when the fans start, well, this movies aren't good, and the non-fans are like, well, maybe I shouldn't see that. Now they've got to try desperately to recoup, and it's just that's what's keeping me from being excited about the Justice League. Yeah. And to imagine that, to have there be a Justice League movie in the works, it's ready for release, trailers are out, and I'm not excited about that. Think about that. Like, it's a Justice League movie. I should be crapping my pants and doing backflips. It's not making me excited. Yeah. And that's something that concerns me, is I should be like, oh my God, the Justice League, you know?
Yeah. Well, and that seems to be the reaction of like the world.
And also, I mean, the superhero mega movie bubble has to be coming close to popping.
I know. Yeah. I mean, even the Marvel movies have become very color by numbers.
Yeah.
I mean, they're entertaining films, but they're not going to stand the test of time as like, you know, memorable genre defining flicks. They're just going to be, have some popcorn, here's Captain America punching a bad guy, which is fine if the movie's entertaining. I'm cool with it.
I think for anybody who's a comic fan, when you start hearing the idea of an Aquaman standalone movie, you start realizing it's time to sell high, you know.
Just the other day, my buddy John and I, we were having coffee, and you have to understand, like, him and I are comic book nerds from way back when. And I mean, the day Avengers came out, he was going down to law school downstate at the time. But as soon as I got out, I called him. And like, we just talked on the phone for an hour about how I can't believe they actually managed to put that on screen. You know, whoever thought they'd be able to. And now, though, 5 years later, we've got a Justice League movie coming out. We're both just kind of like, maybe I'll see it opening day.
Maybe it'll wait for home video. Yeah.
Meanwhile, their Flash TV show they're making is really good.
That's what I heard.
So it's like DC, it's fantastic. They managed to take Gorilla Grodd, Captain Cold,
it's a good thing
and Reverse Flash, and make them awesome.
Well, it's a good thing they've established the Flash so that in this... Oh, wait, no, it's a different Flash in the movie.
They're crapping on this. They're crapping on the cast of the CW show because that show is good. I mean, it's not the best show ever, but it's got the tone and the style that the DC Universe movies should be taking.
Yeah.
Arrow's a little too... Arrow's good, but it's a little too much like a soap opera. But Flash is a good show, and they managed to sell Captain Cold and Grodd and make them work. You're rooting for Captain Cold.
How about a gorilla sells itself?
How about Mirror?
Nobody has to sell a gorilla.
Has Mirror Master shown up? That was always one of the goofier Flash
villains.
I don't
remember. Pied Piper showed up.
Okay, if Pied Piper showed up, Mirror Master.
Weather Wizard made an appearance.
Weather Wizard, yeah.
They managed to make these characters work. And they've got this little... You haven't seen the show?
No.
There's a little running gag. It's very Villain of the Week. But
I'm sitting across from Cody right now, who just looks so disinterested.
Yeah. There's this running gag where a character names the villains, and all the villains hate the names he comes up with, except Captain Cold, who's kind of like, yeah, that's pretty cool.
Oh, man. All right, let's do a quick, is it so bad it's good? Would you recommend it? Jack,
It is not so bad it's good. I would not recommend it. Again, I see it as a movie that should have been awesome, or at least... as good as a Marvel movie that it wasn't, and I know I disagree with the rest of the table. I think it needed more Joker and Harley, not less. I think Enchantress needed to get out. No offense to the special effects team and the actors that pulled off the character performance was fine, but it just didn't work in the story. And that is my final review.
Cody, what do you think?
I should just want to bring this up because I just remembered someone I know like went to some, I think it was like a release party or something for Suicide Squad, and Jared Leto was there. He's done stuff for like DC and stuff. And apparently Jared Leto had like a Jared Leto body double walking around, like a double, so that people wouldn't bother him. So they would bother the double. Yeah. That's what I've heard. But as far as the movie goes, it's just meh. I mean, some of it's good. I wouldn't know if I'd recommend it, though.
Nick, what do you think?
Check out clips on YouTube.
I would watch it again for Margot Robbie. That's about it.
Well, I might give this the warmest review. It's not good. I mean, this movie's not good. It is a wreck. Yeah. But Will Smith and Margot Robbie, and to a degree mm-hmm. Jay Hernandez, like there's stuff in there. Like, I would recommend it, although be aware that you're gonna have to wade through a lot of crap to get to the good stuff.
I will say, I still haven't seen Wonder Woman. Of the DC Universe movies, it's the one that I wasn't angry at afterwards.
Yeah.
Disappointed, but not angry. Right.
Yeah, it's messy, but it's not. Yeah, it's not.
It has charm. There is a charm to it.
There is.
And the cast is good. Like, no one is like, oh, God, that performance is awful. Like, they're all bringing their A game, or at least good enough for what the movie is requiring them to do.
Yeah.
They're making the best of a bad situation, I suppose. But
it
didn't have to be a bad situation.
It didn't have to be. Yeah. Well, we will be back again very soon with more bad movies.
We should say quickly, too, congratulations to Christy.
Oh, that's right. Yes.
Yes,
Christy,
we do.
Who texted us all yesterday that she said, I can't be at the podcast tomorrow. And then that followed that up immediately with a picture of her new baby. Mm-hmm. Which I was like,
so congratulations.
That is an
order.
Acceptable excuse.
It was a decent excuse.
Should we also touch upon this as being recorded after we discovered the death of Adam West? Should
that's
we
right. And Adam West.
Comments about Adam West's legacy. And because this is technically a Batman movie. This was complete coincidence that we decided to review this.
Yeah.
And now I want to see Deadshot face off against Adam West.
I want to see Deadshot 66. What would he fire like? Darts or something, so nobody would really get killed.
It would have been something like that. Deadshot would have been funny on the 60s Batman TV
show. I don't know what
show.
They would have done with him, but yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I posted on social media. I had the pleasure of interviewing Adam West twice, and he was funny and witty. I mean, he was just a natural improviser. Mm-hmm. He was very, very kind. And I think genuinely really liked that he could bring joy to people, and two of my favorite days working in TV. I will definitely miss him. I'm a big fan. As a kid, I loved the 60s Batman TV show. I mean, I still love it now. I just
have it on Blu-ray.
Yeah.
The whole series.
Tough loss.
It is, and the movie.
Yeah. Wow, on that downer of
it is. I just thought it was worth mentioning.
Yeah. Way to bring it down.
I thought it was worth mentioning.
Yeah.
Congratulations, Christy, though.
Yes.
Congratulations.
As one life ends, another begins. It's the cycle of life.
Yeah, we'll get Christy's baby and my twins on here to do. We'll have to do like a terrible kids movie.
Find like the worst like bargain basement straight to DVD princess movie that's designed to not break any copyright infringement and have them watch it.
Well, this would be so funny.
Or we'll watch it.
Everyone knows like the baby Einstein concept, which is like kind of like developmental friendly, like images and songs and like colors. So somehow in our house, somebody must have just given it to us or something. We ended up with this one called Baby Genius.
Okay.
And it is the New Jersey knockoff of Baby Einstein. It is as terrible as in your head you're wondering if it is.
Yes.
Filled with like talking animals with these ridiculous accents and like, oh, it's wonderfully terrible. Oh, that is the Stop the Movie for babies. Yeah. All right. Well, on that, we will be back soon with more bad movies. And yeah, we will see you then. All right. Bye.